Thanks a lot for checking out the Church on the Rock message this week. We would love to help you get closer to God. The best way to do that is to visit cotr.org/connect. Or if you are not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Well, I want to continue. Last Wednesday night, I started a mini-series on the mindset of a tither. Why would I teach this? Because as your pastor, it breaks my heart when I hear anybody say, we can't afford to send our kids to camp, or we can't afford to go to the ladies' conference, we can't afford to go to a men's night out, or anything that we would have in the ministry where it's $25 for this ticket or $50 for that ticket. And it breaks my heart when I hear people who want to come, but they say, I can't afford to come. That's not God's best, and that's not God's will. So last Wednesday night and tonight, I'm attacking poverty. I'm attacking the spirit of poverty. I'm attacking lack. I'm attacking that spirit that would like to steal, kill, and destroy from you. That's what I'm talking about tonight. I want to add value to your life tonight. I want your life to be better for being here on a Wednesday night for the entire service. And already, hasn't it been awesome? It's been awesome already. So I want to attack the spirit of poverty and the spirit of lack. When I hear God's people say, I can't afford it, that's not God's will. Or this is too much, or that costs too much, that's not God's will. That's lack thinking. I don't want us to have a lack mentality. I don't even want you as your pastor for you to have a maintenance mentality. I want you to have a multiplication mentality. Am I connecting with y'all tonight? I definitely don't want you to be in lack and not have enough, the land of lack, but I don't even want you to be in the land of even. I don't even want you to just maintain. I don't want you to just to get by. I love you too much for that. I've been here 40 years and I love you now more than I've ever loved you. And I don't want you in the land of lack or the land of even. I want you in the land of more than enough. So that's what I'm talking about tonight. And the whole idea is, and I've learned things in this study I didn't know. Seriously. So listen up. Get your spiritual ear tuned up. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you tonight and give you revelation on the mindset of a tither. Y'all ready? The mindset of a tither. So the tithe is 10%, okay? It's 10% of our income. In other words, every dime out of every dollar, the first dime out of every dollar belongs to the Lord. In fact, it all belongs to Him, but He's letting us keep the 90%, okay? So the proper perspective on tithing, a lot of people who don't tithe and don't want to tithe, don't want to hear messages like this. A lot of religious people don't want to hear messages like this. But people who, like you and me, who love God, want to please God, want God's best, and want to outgive, if we ever could, God, then this message is for us, okay? So the proper perspective is to help you get more out of your giving. Because we found out last Wednesday night that tithing is more than money. Tithing is more than money. Tithing, if all I'm doing, you know, is giving online or giving in the bucket as it goes by or just, you know, just throwing it here and throwing it there, that's not an offering God will receive, and I'm not getting the most out of my tithe and my offering, okay? So there's a proper way to do it. Why am I teaching on it tonight? Because I want you to have greater influence and greater impact. Greater influence and greater impact. The only thing that's holding our ministry back from satellite campuses, more TV, we have opportunities every week. Thank you, all of my TV partners. I've been sending you out an email, by the way, a video. I want you to know I love you. I thank God for you. We're getting open doors every week for more TV stations. What's holding us back? For more satellite campuses, more TV stations, more missionaries? Helping the poor, helping the needy, it's just money. It's a lack of money. That's the only thing that's holding us back. So the more resources you and I have, the greater influence and the greater impact we can make. And to also help you fund your life mission. That's why I'm teaching on this tonight. Every one of us, every member has a ministry, and every member has a mission. And you need money to fulfill your mission. You need money to fulfill your mission. Okay? You know, we just had to, every year, you know, you have to renew just like you do at your house and my house, the insurance every year. And it keeps going up, by the way, right? Hospital insurance for the staff just went up like 15%. The staff doesn't know it, but they just got a 15% raise to maintain their insurance that we give them here. And insurance just went up on the campus, the whole campus. So they evaluate every year, and they just told us when we reissued and reinstated for another year for the campus, they said our campus is valued at $70 million. So, and because of you and God, we don't owe a nickel. We're totally debt-free. So we can do more for God. But think about it now. If we were to rebuild what we have here in this location, today it would cost $70 million. It's not free. The gospel's not free, okay? So to fund your mission, that's why I'm teaching on it tonight, and to leave an inheritance to your third generation. You and I, we want to leave a legacy to our children's children, to the next generation. We don't want to leave them broke. We want to leave them blessed. And to have provision for your vision, to have provision for your vision. I want you to have a vision. I want you to have a mission. I want you to have a dream, but it will cost to fulfill that. So how are we going to do that? God's economic system is the tithe and the offering. So to have provision for your vision, have greater prosperity for greater generosity. I know you're like me. If I have more, I'm going to give more, right? I'm going to do more for the kingdom of God. I'm going to do more to build the kingdom, okay? So before we get in tonight to Genesis, where we were last Wednesday night, I want to show you a little video clip of a guy by the name of R.G. Letourneau. R.G. Letourneau lived way, way back. He was the guy, R.G. Letourneau, just Google it. He was the guy that created the tracks that go on caterpillars and heavy moving equipment. He invented the tracks, and he said that God gave him the idea because he was a tither. Okay, so let's watch this video together. I think it's about 4 minutes. Here we go, guys.
R.G. Letourneau was a businessman during the Great Depression, and he dropped out of school when he was 14, but he actually went on anyway to invent these machines that would change the world. He invented 70% of the earth-moving equipment that was used during World War II. So a lot of people would just be focused on building a business and making money, and that would be sort of the fulfillment of their hopes. But for him, that was just a part of what he wanted and the legacy he ultimately left behind. His mission and what he wanted to do was to point people to Jesus, and that was in everything that he tried to do, including in his business. He tried to live out the verse from Matthew. It says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." He wanted to go into full-time ministry at one point, and he went to his pastor, who gave him some advice and said, "God needs businessmen too." So he focused on his inventions, and he created huge profits for his company using his heavy equipment for road construction and leveling. Within a few years, he had moved from a small amount of money to more than $1 million in income. So in 1935, Letourneau's wife decided to suggest to him an idea that sounds kind of radical, which was to stop giving 10% to God, but to give 90%, and for them to keep only 10% of his income. After that, Mr. Letourneau was fond of saying, "It's not how much of my money I give to God, but it's how much of God's money that I keep for myself." So sometimes Letourneau would do things that drove his accountants crazy. Like just before the Great Depression, they had this construction job and it went bad, and his company was left with $100,000 in debt. But he worked to pay back that debt, and not only that, he had already pledged $5,000 to missions that year, and he insisted his company fulfill that pledge. So when World War II began, the military started calling up men to serve in the military as chaplains, and Letourneau saw this and decided to do the same thing for his workers and his factories and plants. He decided to use company time and his own money, and he hired 3 full-time chaplains to serve in his manufacturing plants. Letourneau called this Christianity with its sleeves rolled up. That that choice to share his faith with his workers had long-lasting effects on their lives. And if that was just a story, then that would be a great story and a way to share your faith. But for me, it has more importance because Mr. Letourneau's choices to share his faith with his workers affected my family. My grandfather grew up and was a teenager during the time of the Depression. And as best I know from his family, I think they may have called themselves Christians, but they weren't actively living out their faith and they did not go to church. So my pop-pop, after he was discharged from the military in World War II, went to work for one of Letourneau's plants in Toccoa, Georgia. They actually started a program when he was there that would let you make a choice at lunchtime. You could decide if you wanted to go off and have lunch on your own as you normally would, or you could be paid for your lunchtime, and you could also go to a Bible study during that lunchtime. And he chose to do that, probably for financial reasons. And it was through that Bible study, probably led by one of those chaplains, that he decided to surrender his life to Christ and became a Christian. After his conversion and encountering God through the Bible study at Letourneau's plant, then my father's life was exposed to God at a younger age and made different choices in his life probably because of that. And then for me, that looked like us from really as far back as I can remember being involved in church and being exposed to God. But I remember being a little girl and I would be at my pop-pop's house and he would talk to me about R.G. Letourneau as a kid. And I just think it's crazy to think of how one man's choices, they've been so far-reaching, and how even long past his death, they kind of still live on today in us.
Oh. Isn't that powerful? Did you notice two things? His life verse was the verse we have for kingdom builders here. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. And did you hear that he eventually lived on 10% and gave God 90% of his income? Did you hear that? And yet he became a multi-millionaire, and creativity. God kept giving him ideas to make more money. So much so, he lived on 10% and gave God 90%. Check out his story. I have his autobiography book in my library for years, R.G. Letourneau. I think it'll be a big blessing to you. Okay? All right, so let's look at Genesis chapter 14. We're going to look at Abraham, and this is the first instance, the law of first mention of tithing in the Bible. This is the first mention of tithing in the Bible. And I want you to notice how he tithed, because it's a pattern, a role model for you and I if we want to get more out of our giving. He did four things, and he's showing us that real tithing, you do it in faith. And it's an act of worship. You do it in faith, and it's an act of worship. Abraham was the fourth man in the Bible to have faith. He had stronger faith, a deeper faith, a greater revelation of God than anyone preceding him. Okay? So he's our pattern. He's the father of our faith. We're to follow his example as Christians. Oh, but Pastor, tithing's under the law. No, that's an excuse. It was before the law. It was right here. The law came with Moses, and Moses came after Abraham. All right? So, y'all ready? And there came one that had escaped and told Abram, the Hebrew, that dwelt in the plain. Now, what's happening here is that these four armies come in, and they take Abram's wives, children, all of his spoil. They come and capture it all. In verse 14, and when Abram heard that his brothers were taken captive, he armed his trained servants. Notice he had trained 318 men in his household, and they went after these four armies. So here's a principle. The lesser is always more than the greater when God is with you. What do we get from that tonight? A lot of you are facing physical problems, financial problems, marital problems, job problems that look way bigger than you, and you don't have a clue how you're going to turn it around. The good thing to know is that when you have God with the lesser or the little, it's always more than the one that has more than you. So in other words, when God's with you, you are a majority. Oh, I like that. So don't be overwhelmed by what you're facing tonight, okay? So verse 15, so he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night. God gave him a strategy to go against the enemy at night and go from two different directions. What do we learn from that? God has a strategy for your health tonight. God has a strategy for your finances tonight. God has a strategy for your marriage, for your family, for your future. God has a strategy for your promotion. God has a strategy to get you out of what we got ourselves in. Ooh, I like that. Praise the Lord. All right, verse 16. And he brought back all the goods, so he defeated them. The few overcame the great. The lesser overcame the greater or the more. He brought back all the goods, also brought back again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of the kings that were with him at the valley, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, which later became Jerusalem, and Melchizedek is a type and shadow of our high priest, Jesus Christ. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. Here we have communion, right? Right in the book of Genesis. Communion. And he was the priest of the Most High God. Remember I told you last Wednesday night that the heathen, those without God, they worshiped other gods, and they put their gods on top of the mountaintops. And so they would look up to the mountain, and the God that they worshiped, they put it on the highest mountain, the one they thought was the biggest, the baddest, the strongest. And notice it says here that Abram's God, he saw his God as greater than any other gods. He had a revelation of God that no one else had before him. And he blessed him. So what did the high priest do when he came back from battle and war? He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." So notice, Abram was worshiping the Most High God. Number two, he was recognizing that God owns everything in heaven and God owns everything on the earth. The Bible says that the earth and everything in it, the silver, the gold, the cattle on the hills and the hills belong to God. So whatever is God's, you and I have access to. So whatever's in heaven tonight, we have access to it. And whatever's on the earth tonight, car, house, job, whatever's on the earth tonight, you have access to that as well. Oh, I like that. So in other words, what do I take away? God's people should have the best. God's people should have the best. God's church should have the best. All right? And he blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered him, thirdly, delivered him from all of his enemies, and he gave him tithe of all. So notice that Abram, in giving the tithe, what's he doing? Three things. He's recognizing, he's worshiping God. He's worshiping God. So when we tithe, we should see it as an act of worship, right? He's saying that not only that, but he's realizing he has access to everything that God has in heaven, everything that God has on earth. He has access to that. That everything that belongs to God belongs to him. Well, I hope you get a hold of that. I hope you get a hold of that. I hope you get a hold of that. And thirdly, when he was giving the tithe, he was saying, the God that I serve has delivered me from all my enemies. Depression, fear, sickness, lack, anxiety. I'm going to talk about Sunday, Easter. I looked online today, and I looked up anxiety. And they brought up the age of anxiety. But also they said, in America right now, this is on the internet today, 1 out of 2 U.S. citizens are dealing with anxiety. They're freaked out about their future. Whoa. So then notice that once he recognized God, worshiped God, then he recognized all that God has belonged to him. I call that an abundant life. Then thirdly, he began to declare and decree and rejoice over the victory over all of his enemies. And then watch this. God didn't ask him for the tithe. The fourth thing that he did, didn't have to have pictures of sick children. Didn't have to have a preacher try to beg people for 45 minutes at the offering. Didn't have to try to convince people. What did he do? He gave willingly, willingly to the Lord the tithe. Didn't have to be coaxed or convinced or begged or tricked. He did it willingly. So if I want the most out of my tithe and offering, I've got to see it as an act of worship. I have to worship the Lord when I give it. Then I have to recognize that the spirit of lack is off my life, and he meets all my needs, and all that is in heaven and in earth I have access to is available to me. So I shouldn't talk lack, think scarcity, think maintenance, think meager. I should think multiplication. And then I'm going to praise him when I give my tithe and my offering. I'm going to thank him that he's delivered me from all of my enemies. I have victory. I'm going to act like a victor. I'm going to talk like a victor. I'm going to walk like a victor. I'm going to respond like more than a conqueror. Then I'm willingly can't wait to give God the tithe. Watch this now. Then I'm going to get the results that God wants me to have from my giving. But how many people do you and I both know, you know, that they just feel forced or begged or pleaded or have to or made to or don't want to and this, that, and the other, or just flippantly give it in the offering and let's get through this quick? No wonder they're not receiving all that they could be getting out of their giving. Am I helping anybody so far? Okay, the best is yet to come. Stay with me. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to yourself. Verse 22. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I lift my hand unto the Lord. That's a sign of an oath, a commitment to the Most High God. There he is again, worshiping the Lord, possessor of heaven and earth. In other words, the cattle, the silver, the gold, all belongs to God. Doesn't belong to the devil. Doesn't belong to the devil. Belongs to God. So God's children should have the best that the world has to offer. Okay? Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread, even a shoelace, from anything from you, lest you would say that you made Abram rich. Well, who is he saying made him rich? God made him rich. Save only that which a young man have eaten and the portion of the men which went with me. Okay? So Abram was the fourth man in the Bible to have faith. He did four things. These are the four things you and I want to do every time we're giving to the Lord, every time we're bringing an offering, every time we're bringing the tithe and the offering to get more out of our giving. I've been raised in the church. My dad was the treasurer in our church. I saw people tithe and be broke. I saw people tithe and just struggle. Why? They didn't know how accurately, correctly, spiritual protocol in giving the tithe and the offering. He did four things, all right? It's not tithing unless we do these four things. It's not a Bible, biblical tithe unless we do these four things. Worship God as the Most High God. Am I going too fast for you all tonight? Worship God as the Most High God. Number two, believe he owns everything on earth and heaven, and we have access to it. Number three, declare he delivers us from all our enemies. So if I'm giving an offering and I'm complaining, I'm sarcastic, I'm belligerent, I'm talking lack, then what am I doing? I'm short-circuiting what my offering could be doing, was meant to be doing. Okay? Fourth thing, he willingly, God didn't even ask him, he willingly gave God the tithe. Praise the Lord. So Malachi chapter 3, you still all with me, everybody? Let's go to Malachi chapter 3, okay? Verse 6 through 10, for I am the Lord, I change not. Aren't you glad he doesn't change? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, when everything around us is changing. I change not, therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your father, you've gone away from my ordinances. What he's saying to them is that you haven't been serving me. You haven't been living for me. He's talking to Israel, talking to his people. He's saying you've backslidden. You walked away from me. You're not walking in obedience. And he says, return to me. And they want to know, well, how can we return to you? Verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. Wherein you say, how can we rob you? And God says, you rob me in the tithe and the offering. Now think about this, everybody. God owns everything. God has everything. How can we rob God? What are we robbing God of? The blessing. We're robbing God of the blessing that comes on us when we give the tithe and the offering with spiritual protocol. When we do it correctly, we're robbing God of the blessing. Remember, the high priest put a blessing, watch this now, don't miss this, put a blessing on him and his tithe. So when you give on a Wednesday night or throughout the week, a lot of us give online now, or anytime we meet on Sunday, you see what's happening is when you do that, the high priest Jesus is placing a blessing on you and your tithe. On you and your tithe. Oh, I like that. On you and your tithe. Verse 9. You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation, Israel. Verse 10. Bring all the tithe. You don't break it up. You bring all the tithe. And a tithe is what? 10%. You bring all the tithe into the storehouse. The storehouse is the local church where there might be meat. Meat is ministry in my house. Whose house is it? His. And prove me or test me now. When's a good time to start? Now. Okay. Again, you hear me say it every Sunday. It takes faith to tithe. You conquer fear of not having enough. You think it's leaving your life, but it's not. It's not leaving your life. It's just leaving your hand. And it'll come right back. Prove me now, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out not blessings, but a blessing. The blessing. You see, the blessing contains all of the blessings. So he said, I'll pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. There'll not be room enough to receive the blessing. When I bring the tithe and the offering, he said he'd open the windows of heaven and pour out a floodgate, open the floodgates, that the blessing will release on you and your giving. The blessing on you as a person and on your giving, okay? And he said, it'll be so much, you don't have room enough to receive it. Well, can y'all look up here just for a second? Can I be honest with you? I've always had room to receive more. I've been in the church for a long time. I got born again when I was 11. Kim and I, we've been here 40 years. Before that, we were pastoring other churches. And my dad was a treasurer, and I've been a tither since I was in the sixth grade. You've heard me say that, fifth grade. And I always have room for more. So is this a contradiction? Is this a heresy? Is this a lie? Is this a false truth? That he says that if I do this willingly with spiritual protocol, worshiping, doing it in faith, thanking him for delivering me from all of my enemies this past week and the week to come that I'm going to face, I don't even know about. When I do those four things and I give it willingly, then he said he's going to open the floodgates and pour out the singular blessing, the blessing, on me and my giving, okay? And there'll not be room enough to receive it. Well, Pastor, then, okay, explain. What does that mean? There shall not be room enough to receive it. There shall not be room enough to receive it. Well, if you get a Hebrew lexicon, which is a dictionary of Scripture, it actually means this. I will pour out the blessing on you that's, watch this now, unending. 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 In the Hebrew language, it actually means he's going to put a blessing on you and your giving or resources that's with you, on you, chasing you, 7/24. That blessing is on you and your resources while you sleep, while you work, go to school, on vacation, while you travel. It covers you. It's unending. It never stops. Am I communicating? Well, I'll take that. Now, that's a good word, right? Not room enough to contain it. I've always had room to get. What's that mean? It actually means the blessing will come on you and your giving. And it's unending. Never stops, never leaves you, never stops working, 7/24. Wherever you go and whatever you do, the blessing is covering you. Now do this, everybody. Turn to somebody and say, I know he's talking about me tonight. Would you? Okay. You all take that, right? Amen. Okay. So the blessing, all right? Not enough means unending. unending, always goes with us all the time. Didn't he say in Deuteronomy 28, you'd be blessed coming, you'd be blessed going? Didn't he say the blessing will actually chase you down and overtake you? Confirmation, mouth of two or three witnesses. Not enough means unending, always goes with us all the time and everywhere. Now, you say, well, Pastor, it doesn't do that for me. Well, that's why. Remember, it doesn't work if you don't have faith. It's not a tithe if it's not given in faith. It's not a tithe if it's not an act of worship. The tithe is more than money. It has to be done in faith, has to be done in worship, has to be done in declaration of thanking God for delivering you from all your enemies this week and the week to come. You don't even know it's ahead of you. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay? So Genesis 15. All right? I'm just about done. Can you handle a little more? Okay, the mindset, the real mindset of a tither. Okay? So look at Genesis. Now, Genesis 15 comes after Genesis 14. Hello? I love y'all. Y'all are awesome. Amen? Right? 15. And when the Bible was written, there were no chapters and no verses. So it's a continuous thought. Okay? So after just what happened in chapter 14, what happened? There was a battle. You know, Abram was stolen from the enemy, type and shadow of the devil. Those four armies came in and took his wives and children and spoil. And what Abraham do? What Abram do? Took his 318 trained men. The lesser overtook the more, the greater, went after it, defeated them, got their spoil back, their family back, and the spoil of the enemy. Okay? All that just happened. And then what did he do? He tithed, right? And the four ways that he tithed, it's not a tithe unless we do it that way, okay? That's why you never see me in this church get up at the offering on Sundays and beg and plead and pout and cry and make people feel bad. You never see me do that. I'm always sharing scripture. I'm always talking about you and how I can help you at the offering, giving you success principles, business, and biblical every Sunday, okay? So that's the way it should be. It shouldn't have to be begged or pleaded with. Okay, so after he did all this, after he tithed, what happened? After these things. What things? What he just did in chapter 14. After he just bought the tithe and the offering to the high priest, who's a type and shadow, Melchizedek, of the Lord Jesus Christ. After these things, the word of the Lord came into Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am your shield and exceedingly great reward. He's getting a word. He's getting a vision, right? After the tithe and the offering done correctly. And Abram said, Lord God, what are you going to give me? God, I just tithed. What are you going to give me? Getting quiet in this Word of Faith church tonight. See, I was taught with my paper route. Remember my story from my dad in fifth grade and sixth grade? I was taught, Dave, you tithe. Yes, sir, Dad. And you give an offering. $6 a week, 60 cents, dimes. Yes, sir, Dad. But they told me don't expect anything in return. They said, you know, you give to God, but you don't give to get. Now, we don't give to get, but I was taught give, but don't expect anything. I love my church, my heritage, but here's what they taught me. Here's what they taught me growing up. God will meet your needs, but you forget about your desires because that's selfishness, self-centeredness. I was taught that growing up. Mainline church, okay? Church of 1,000 people, all right? So I was taught you give out of obedience, but don't you expect God to give you anything back? Right here. Law first mentioned, first tither. He just tithed, and now what does he say? God, what are you going to give me for my tithe? Boy, it's getting real quiet. Must be a lot of religious people. A lot of religious people here tonight. Amen. Now, you all know me. We're not talking about self-centeredness, selfishness on ourselves. We're talking about God is a good God. And if your earthly fathers know how to give, how much more does your heavenly Father want to give to those who love him? Look what Abram's saying. After what he just did, what did he do? He just gave tithe and an offering. So he says, God, what are you going to give me? Seeing I go childless, seeing I have no offspring. What are you going to give me? Verse 3. Boy, it got real quiet there. Maybe I need the praise team to come up on this one. Y'all see it, right? Doesn't it say in the King James, God, what are you going to give me now? Okay. Now, it wasn't a belligerent attitude. It wasn't a selfish attitude. It was an attitude of faith. It was an attitude of faith. And Abram said, behold, to me, you've given no seed. No one born in my house as an heir. Verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir. Now, you know, it's taken a long time. God had given him a promise like 20-some years earlier, him and Sarah, but it hadn't happened yet. Now they're so old. Why did it take so long? Now they're so old, they can't get the credit for it because they're too old to have children. So God's going to get all the glory for it and not them. But what I want you to see something, her womb was beyond creating, right? Her womb was beyond creating. So I want you to see another aspect of the tithe. The tithe will release creativity into your life. Notice that Sarah couldn't have a baby. She was too old, but after he did these things, then he says, God, what are you going to give me? And God says, I'm going to create. I'm going to do a creative miracle. So when I tithe and give offerings, I should be leaving God to be innovative and creative and have insight, have ideas in technology, the arts, the music, business, whatever that other people don't have. I have an edge because I'm a tither and I do it correctly. And brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, tell the stars, giving him a vision. If you're able to number them, then he said, so will your seed be as the team comes. And he believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And if we read on, then Sarah got pregnant, and Sarah gave birth to a baby. Notice that didn't happen until after he was a tither, after he did it correctly, not even being asked, wanted to, willingly. And what happened? Above all, everything else, the tithe protects us. The tithe rebukes the devourer for our stuff, right? The tithe protects us. The tithe promotes us. All the things that the tithe does, it opens the floodgates of heaven. God pours out the blessing with all the blessings. But I want to point out to you also, it brings creativity into your life. Ideas for witty inventions. Creativity. You see things other people don't see. You hear things other people don't hear. All because you're a tither and a giver, releasing creativity into your world. I'm out of time tonight. Did you get something from tonight's teaching? Come on, let's thank God for the word. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm a tither. I'm a giver. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Man, if I'm sitting out there and hearing this for the first time, I'm looking for an offering bucket. I'm looking, where's an usher? Give me an usher with a basket. Or give me the code up on the screen. How do I do this? How do I get plugged in? Can't wait, God. Haven't been begged, pleaded with, forced, or made. God, oh, I see you're the Most High God, that everything belongs to you, God. I have access to an abundant life, more than enough. You delivered me from all my enemies. Oh, God, I want to give back to you. Now, God, what are you going to do for me? Wow. He's going to give you the desires of your heart. Amen. Can you bow your heads and close your eyes? Right before we close and Pastor Kim comes, we have prayer for about 30 minutes for the weekend. Let's pray a corporate prayer tonight for everybody here, those that will listen to this on our podcast. If you're here tonight, you don't know the Lord. He loves you. He sent his son to die for you. He cares about you, has a plan for you. He's not mad at you. God is for you. And you say, Pastor, I want that kind of a God. I don't want religion. I want a relationship with God. Or maybe you're just a believer. You've been wavering, tossing, turning. The devil's been beating up on you. And you say, boy, it's time for me to reset my life and go to a new level. Let's all pray this prayer. Let's all say it. Everybody, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. I repent. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me. And he rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you like to keep growing in your faith? At Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's learning more about discovering what it means to join a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/connect, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you are part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.